He's given me some things as I've been pondering Psalms 1. I'm going to give you a quick word from the Word tonight. Keep an eye on the clock because I know we've got to have the business meeting and I want us to get out as close to the same time that we normally get out as we possibly can, because I know many of y'all are tired and you've been up all day. You've been going at it. Some of you have been up longer than the sun's been up. Amen. So we're going to be very, very thoughtful of that. Give you something quick tonight, but I think it'll be something that'll help you. Psalms 1, verse 1. By the way, I was proud of Brother Savage. Some of y'all may have saw that on Facebook, but he was a part of the Diamond Club, which is a very elite club for people who sell real estate. And just so proud of him. I think he's 80 or 81. Gets up every day and goes to work, man. He just loves life, and I'm so proud of him and so happy about that accomplishment in his life. And something big. So if you see him when he gets back in town, I know they've got a double hit going on prayer-wise. They're praying for their son, Judson, who is struggling with cancer. He's been hit pretty hard, afflicted pretty hard. And then, of course, her mother, who is close to 100 years of age, but it appears she's going to be going to be with the Lord soon. And so they're dealing with both of those things. And so I'm glad they got some ray of sunshine in the midst of a couple of weeks of getting some bad news. So happy about that. If you see him, be sure to congratulate him. All righty, man. Psalms 1, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. All right, let's get right into it then. Look at it here. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You see how it kind of shifts gears between 3 and 4 there? It suddenly goes a different direction. He's saying all these good things, and all of a sudden in verse 4, he says, the ungodly are not so. What you get from that is everything he just said about the blessed man, take it the opposite, and that's what the ungodly gets. They don't get any of that. They're not like this. This doesn't apply to them. This is not the ungodly. He says, the ungodly are not so. They don't get all that, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We haven't looked at that word perish in any kind of detailed way, but how many of you will agree with me on this one fact? It don't sound good. Nothing good about that word. So we don't want to end up like the ungodly. Whatever they do ends up perishing. Ends up just going away. They're like that chaff that just blows away, that useless chaff that's turned into dust. All righty. We have enjoyed some expository teaching out of Psalms 1, and we have studied these particular words. I've been pulling these words out on Wednesday nights here throughout February. The first word that we looked at was blessed, and we have seen that God blesses his children. There's a lot of scripture verses where God states, blessed is the man who does this, and blessed is the man who does that. In this verse, he says, blessed is the man who does not do, and he lists some things. But in most cases, he is blessing you for doing and serving and being obedient and faithful and living a holy, righteous life. Listen to me. I'm going to say the word, then I want you to say it with me. You ready to hear the word? It pays to serve God. Let's say that together. It pays to serve God. Say it again like you believe it. It pays to serve God. Why? Because God blesses you. God will bless you. He loves to bless you. God would rather bless you than spank you any day of the week and twice on Sunday. God loves to bless his children. And we're the same way. I'd much rather take my son out and have a fun time with him than to take him out for a lecture or a spanking or get in trouble. I would much rather give my child a gift than a discipline. Hey, our Lord loves to bless us. And we looked at this word blessed, and we see it as a description of a person, a blessed person, a type of person. So we see here that word blessed. We looked at it. We looked at a second word, the word prosper. And we have learned the difference between the mirage of worldly prosperity and the prosperity that is more permanent and satisfying. Of course, we're talking about heavenly, godly prosperity. We need to never be confused on the two. There are people that we envy and look at and we think, man, I wish I had their life. Sometimes you may be shocked that they're looking at you thinking, I wish I had your life. Listen, prosperity is a very delicate topic. It's not always about having a Cadillac, although there's nothing wrong with having a Cadillac. If God blesses you with it, praise His name for it and honor Him with everything that He gives you. But you know what? There's more to it than material possession or the things that we look at. So we looked at that in great detail, and we tried to get a proper perspective of the word prosper. Then we looked at the word meditate, and we see how the blessed man is prosperous because of the treasure he has found in the Word of God. He doesn't just skin it or scam it. Or what's the word here? Scan it. You ever just scan a newspaper? Or scan something on your app on your phone? Or, you know, that reading assignment that your teacher gave you in English? I got kicked out of English class one time. I got kicked out of class one time in all my school career. But it was English class. And she told us to read this story that was entitled Old One Eye. And it was talking about a panther that had one eye. And it was an old story from some, and she made us read it. The next day we come in, of course, I didn't read it. I had more important things to do, like practice basketball and watch Thundercats. Who remembers Thundercats? Thundercats, ho! That was a quality program right there. Well, I got in the next day, and the dreaded words that everybody hates to hear when you walk into a classroom unprepared, everybody take out a clean sheet of paper. Then I knew I was in trouble. I hadn't read one word of that story she told us to read. Very first question was this. She said, and I was being stupid. I was a class clown, and that was my job and my role, and I was playing it. But she asked the question. She said, why was he called Old One Eye? And so I answered, because he had one eye, out loud. Now, the truth is, I had no idea that was the correct answer. I was just being stupid, you know. I was just saying what sounded obvious to me. She goes, Mr. Riggs, you may now go to Brother Anger's office and tell him why you're kicked out of class. So I got up and walked out, and apparently I guessed the right answer and gave the right answer to the whole class, but really wasn't that far, you know, of a stretch. I mean, I had to tell her. I was like, Miss Costales, I wasn't trying to, you know, cheat for the class. I didn't read the story. I had no idea. So I had to give myself away. That didn't help my situation any. I think she wanted to kick me out a second time, but she'd already kicked me out. But anyway, I had to go tell Brother Anger what happened, and of course I got detention, and it was just such a bitter memory. Anyway, I don't know how I got on that, but in any case, I don't even know what I was talking about. Meditate. Man, sometimes you got to just, you can't just scan it or just peruse through it. A lot of people just scan their Bible like they're reading some kind of newspaper or some kind of magazine. Well, we got to meditate on the Word of God. We got to get in there and tear it apart and study it and think about it and see what it applies to us. Think about each word and each sentence. You can see how much I'm pulling out of Psalms 1. I can't believe how many messages God just keeps giving me out of this short 6 verses of Scripture. Why? Because I've been meditating on it, thinking about it. What's in there? What's deeper? What's beyond just the surface that I'm reading? So just by thinking about it, pondering it, meditating on it. So the blessed man, he is prosperous, but he meditates. He commits himself to knowing this book, and it's brought about blessing. It's brought about prosperity in his life and stability. We're going to look at this word planted maybe next Wednesday night, but that is talking about some great stability. There's a lot of people that are just, they can't find stability in their life. Well, this blessed man has some stability in his life. He's planted. Well, he's finding all of this because of the wisdom and the knowledge, these nuggets of treasure that he is finding there in the Word of God. Then last week, we looked at discernment and how the blessed man became blessed because he, right off the bat in verse 1, discerns some right paths. He discerns some right paths and the people and the purposes and the paths of his life. So we learned a great truth here. We learned this truth, and I gave it to you. And some of you wrote it down. If you didn't, you ought to get ready to write this down. This is going to come at you, and it's going to be very heavy. You ready for this? Your discernment will decide your decisions. And your decisions will decide your direction. Your direction will then determine your destination, where you end up. Where does it start with? Your discernment. Before you make a decision, you have to apply discernment. And if you lack discernment, you will make a bad decision. That decision, in turn, will determine a direction that you're going to take. That direction is going to facilitate a destination at some point. You're going to end up somewhere. I'm amazed at how many people lack discernment. And we learned that we must seek the gift of discernment. We must seek after it. And we looked at how to develop it. And I'm shocked at just how many people live an untoward. The word untoward means directionless. An untoward life. And have no discernment in the choices they make. It reminds me of a story that I actually did read in school when I was asked to read it, and I remember something about this. In the classic novel, Alice in Wonderland, there is a conversation that I find very true. This conversation is held between Alice and the White Rabbit. And there's a lost Alice, and she asks the rabbit, where she comes to a place where she's uncertain, she asks him, which way should I choose? The rabbit looks at her and says, well, that depends on where you want to go. She answers him and says, well, I don't really care much where I go. Then he answers her and says, then it really doesn't matter which path you choose. And there's a lot of people like Alice, unfortunately, going through life, coming up to paths. And because they really don't care where they end up, what this is going to do to them 10, 15, 20, what this is going to do to them in eternity. Where do you want to end up in eternity? Now, there's people that don't really care much about it. They do not ponder or think about the path of their feet, and their ways are not established. Oh, my goodness, we need to be people of discernment. Now, discernment is important, so I want to give you a part two or an extension lesson on the thought that I started last week, on this thought of discernment, in order to help you tonight. Now, the topic I'm going to teach on for just the next few minutes, as quickly as I can, is this. How do you make wise and good decisions in your life? How do you make wise and good decisions? I'm going to give you some tools to help you really quick. Before I do that, let's look at a few scriptures. For time's sake, I'm going to read these as quickly as I can. If you can turn there, they're all in Proverbs. The first one's going to be Proverbs 11, verse 14. Proverbs 11, 14. I'll give you a minute to get to there, but I'm going to go pretty quickly after that. Proverbs 11, I'm going to read three scriptures. They're all from Proverbs. Proverbs 11, 14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Now, Proverbs 15, verse 22, just a few pages over, Proverbs 15, verse 22 says this, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed." In other words, he is saying, without counsel, your goal can end in failure. Your purpose can end in disappointment. "But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Now, one more verse. Proverbs 24, verse 6 says this. "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in multitude of counselors," there it is again, "there is safety." There is safety. The Bible teaches us in three different places the value of having counselors in our life. Now, in these verses, we see the importance of counsel. Let me give you quickly tonight six counselors that can help you be a discerning person. Counselor helps bring discernment. A counselor helps you figure things out. So there are six counselors. Now, when you think of a counselor, you probably think of a doctor or somebody in a room, a therapist. But I'm going to give you six practical counselors that aren't going to cost you a dime. Amen? Does that sound good? Well, one of them might cost you a little bit, but you never know. Here we go. Counselor number one, and I'm going to have somebody come and help me here. John, bring your coffee and come on up here and stand right here. Bring that coffee on up here, man. That looks good. Where'd you get that from? Really? Awesome. Stand right here. You're going to represent counselor number one. You know what this one is? The first counselor that everybody ought to go to when you're facing a decision. Who can guess what it is? Not your wife. Not your wife. No. Word of God. Boom, right there. Word of God. You need to go to the Word of God immediately with any decision that's in your life. Anything that you're trying to weigh it out, you want to go to the Word of God. You want to seek counsel from the Scripture. Is there anything that the Bible... Now, sometimes I get it. You go to the Bible and you can't find anything clear-cut on the decision you're trying to make. But remember this. The Bible is full of all kinds of stories and illustrations. All those Old Testament stories that you learned in children's church and in Sunday school. Beloved, there are principles that come out of all of those with real life. You know those were real life people? Real life people. They lived. And you know what? There are principles that we can get wisdom from that help us make decisions. But in any case, you need to establish as a child of God that the Word of God is the final authority in your life. What it says to do, you will do. What it says to not do, you will not do. And sometimes you will find a clear-cut principle that will help you not make a decision or to make a decision. There are times the Bible has helped me make many of the decisions that I have made in my life. So right there is your first one. Let me give you a second counselor in your life. The Holy Spirit. Russell, come on up here and stand right there. Float a little bit like you're a spirit. Come on up here. Come stand right next to him. The Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit will counsel you. When the Holy Spirit is counseling you to do, you'll have peace in your heart that he will bring. Or if he is telling you no, there will be a disturbance to your spirit. Kind of like a red light versus a green light in your spirit. How many of you have ever felt a red light in your spirit where you knew that this was the wrong decision? That was the Holy Spirit. Now he works through your conscience. He works through that still, small voice inside of you, but he stirs that spirit, and he's a counselor. He is there to guide you, and there are times that he is saying inside of you, no, no, no. Say it.
No,
no, no, no. Or he is saying, go, go, go.
Go, go.
All right, but he's there to be a counselor, and you will find that he stirs your spirit. Sometimes you'll find a deep disturbance in your spirit. And let me give you this little word of advice. When you're about to make a decision and you do not have peace about it in your spirit, it's a wrong decision. It is a you can override the Holy Spirit. You can hit an override button and just do it. He doesn't restrain you, he counsels you. He doesn't physically hold you back, but he restrains you in your spirit. He tells you no. And man, if you're hearing that, you better stop and think twice. But the Holy Spirit's a counselor. He's inside of you. When you're born again, he is there to counsel you. All righty? There's a third one. Brother Dave, come stand right over here. Brother Dave will represent your wisdom and knowledge. Now, wisdom and knowledge can come through experience. It can come through education. It can sometimes be natural. My grandfather had an eighth grade education, yet he was one of the wisest, most knowledgeable men I've ever known. You could bring him any leaf out of the yard. He could tell you what kind of tree it was. You could pluck up any kind of herb. He could look at it, tell you which one it was. He'd go out in the woods. He knew all kinds of stuff. He was a walking encyclopedia. He spent his whole life farming. He knew how to read the clouds. He knew how to read the wind. He knew how to do... He could fix tractors. I mean, he was a blacksmith. I mean, he could do big old strong Irish wrists and hands. But he had an eighth grade education. He had to quit school when he was in eighth grade to go home and help his dad on the farm in Blytheville, Arkansas, because the war was on and he had to stay home and help the family. Well, you know what? Sometimes people just have a natural intuition, an instinct. Sometimes you get wisdom and knowledge from the illustrations that you think of from other people in your life. How many of you have ever not made a dumb decision because you could think of somebody else who made that same decision and it was dumb? And you stood there the whole time thinking, man, that was dumb. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And then here you are a month later. Huh, I wonder if I should do that. No, it didn't work out too good for them. Sometimes illustrations in our mind give us wisdom and knowledge. So we have intuition, instinct, illustration. All these things can give us wisdom and knowledge. But your wisdom and knowledge can counsel you how to make a right decision if you'll listen to it. All righty? Then there's number four. Eric, get over here. Stand right here. This is a good one for you, Brother Eric. Get on up here, buddy. Eric, you're going to represent number four, counselor number four that we can all have to give us discernment. That is godly counsel, and let me add this, qualified counsel. Godly and qualified counsel. Not everybody you know is a qualified counselor. Is that true? You said that's true, but is that true? I mean, you really don't need to go to your hairdresser. No offense, Carol. You shouldn't really go to your hairdresser to find out where to invest your, you know, money you just inherited. You know what I'm saying? You talk to her about highlights. Say amen, Carol. Unless you really are a great investor. Huh? Not really your expertise. So you would be the first to admit, if you need to talk about highlights, I am a qualified counselor. I'll say, no, sister, you better not go with red highlights because it just ain't going to look good. But if they want to know, what do I invest $100,000 that, you know, I just inherited? Not really your area, right? In your pocket. You're going to say, well, let's talk about those extensions and those, what do you call those? Highlights. You know, they're pretty expensive, so your price just went way up, amen? Look, not everybody is a qualified counselor. Let me ask you a question, and I'll wait just for a little bit of feedback here. What makes a person a qualified counselor? And throw something at me. I'm listening. Not rhetorical. I want answers. What makes somebody a qualified counselor? All right, we're going over here. Raise your hand and I'll call on you. Right over here. Mary. Okay, somebody with education more than you have, especially in the area. Okay, so. Perfect. That's a great answer. Somebody with more education than you have in an area that you're trying to make a decision in. So, let's say you're trying to decide what kind of car to buy. You would probably need to find somebody that has been educated more on cars than that'd be your mom and dad. So they'd be a qualified counselor in that area. By the way, you need to match the area of the decision to the counselor. Now, I'm a counselor, but I'm not a qualified counselor on everything. Now, if you want to know what the best NCAA teams to, you know, root for, I'm qualified to tell you about that. But did I hear a Roll Tide back there? We need to all stop and have prayer. Let's come to the altar. Somebody else tell me, what would make somebody qualified? Roger.
A successful track record.
Okay, a successful track record, especially in the areas that you're needing counsel in. So you'd look for people that have a successful, give me an illustration. Okay. All right. Perfect. So they might not be the best qualified person on how to raise kids, but man, they're the one to go to if you're trying to find out about investing into apartments. They're qualified to be a counselor there. All right. What else would make somebody qualified? Right here. Omega. Okay. Experience. Man, excellent. They've been through or on the other side of the decision you're trying to make. All right. Excellent. What else? Right here. Somebody who's well-read, and this is an area they've studied up on. That's good. People that just have a general knowledge. I know people that I would go to because I perceive them as people that just have a general wide range of knowledge. My father-in-law is like that, Brother Watkins. He's a reader, and he's just got this wide field. He just knows a little bit about everything. And I've rarely made a decision that I haven't ran it by him because he just seems to know a lot of things about a lot of things. Just a wise man. All righty, who else? Who else? I'll take one or two more here. Right here.
I'm going to say that all of this is important, but it doesn't help if you are not a good listener.
Hmm.
Have empathy for the person that you are counseling.
Yeah. So that would fall on the counselor. That'd fall on you. To be a listener to what they're asking and what they're saying, and that is excellent. On the part of the counselor, if someone comes to you for counsel, hear them out first. Hear their whole question. Try to figure out what their goal is. What are they trying to do here? And then contemplate. Don't just start rattling off stuff, but answer them in a way that's helpful. That's helpful. All right? What else, though? Is there anybody else that can tell me what a qualified counselor would be? What about somebody you respect? Somebody you respect. you know. So there's a lot of answers that would go to this. But he represents, if you're going to make a good decision, he's a counselor. There are godly counsels that God can have. It might be your mom, your dad. It might be your pastor. It could be your Sunday school teacher. It could be a friend at church. It could be your sister, your brother. But they need to be qualified in the area that you are seeking advice and help with. All righty, number five. I'm going to get a lady for this one. All the ladies put their head down here. Omega, come up and stand by your husband here, if you don't mind. You'll see why I chose the lady for this one. She ain't got anything sharp on her, does she? Rational thought. Rational thought as a counselor. Rational thought. You've got to have rationality in your decision making, where you are rationalizing this thing out, thinking it through. So if you'll stop and calm down and think as you're making a decision, your thoughts can and will counsel you. But you've got to keep rational thought on a concrete plane. You see, imagination is, in my imagination, I can fly. And I've actually imagined that. In my imagination, you know, I can dunk a basketball like Michael Jordan. In my imagination, I'm as good looking as Elvis Presley. But when I get rational, I realize that none of that is true. Well, maybe one of those is true. But I'll let you decide which one. Hey. Thank you very much. All right. Rational thoughts got to be a counselor. You've got to stay rational. You can get into imagination and, you know, you can... The thought that you can do anything you want is a great positive thought, but it's not always true. It's not always true. There are limitations. There is rationality. There are limits in the decisions that we need to make. There is rationality. I mean, people stand on the edge of a building and there's some thought in their mind that says jump. You ever feel that? People, if you've ever felt that, raise your hand. There's a thought that comes across, jump. There's a lot of people that admit it. What keeps you from jumping? Rational thought. Did you know that what separates sane people from insane people is insane people listen to those kind of things? Somewhere the rational person overrides those insane thoughts. People that are not thinking clearly listen to bad counselor in their own mind. And it tells them to do things that are often destructive. It's destructive in their relationships. It's destructive in their job. It's destructive in their life management. So a rational person knows how to weed those things out and say, no, that would be stupid. That would not be realistic. That is very fantasy. That is very romanticist. That's a romanticist way of thinking, but rationality brings it back to a concrete place of what is real. You understand what I'm saying? In making decisions, people make a lot of romanticist decisions, and they often make bad decisions. Rationality keeps us grounded in fact. All righty, and here's the last one, number six, the self-counsel. Let me get some out of here. Brother Brian, do you mind coming up and help me? Come on up here, buddy. I'm staying right up here. What is that on your shirt? What is that? I'm trying to, it's Boise State. Boise State. You may be the only Boise State fan in our entire church. Is there really? Yeah. You're the only Boise State fan I've ever met in my entire life. I'm glad to know. That's good to know. Man, we are brutal around NCAA football time around here. Oh, no. Oh. Oh, I got to get him out here. Oh, man. It's all right. Sorry, don't listen to him. All right. Now, here's where it gets interesting. All these things are here in your life, all six of them. So here you are, Joe Christian. You got to make a decision. So you're thinking, what do I do? First thing you do is you check the... Come stand right here. And you line up with it. I got to get lined up with the Word of God. Then you go to... Holy Spirit, I'm not feeling a red light. Not feeling that. I'm feeling it's okay. Then you go to wisdom and knowledge. You've got to think about it. See if it offends your wisdom and knowledge, all right? And then right over here. You guys get shoulder to shoulder. And then right here. Your rationality is not offensive in this. And then you come over here. What was this one?
Self-counsel.
Here's the question you ask in this one. Would I recommend to somebody else, what would I tell them to do? What would I counsel my brother to do in this decision? What if my son came to me and he was thinking of doing this? What would I tell him? You have to ask yourself that while you're making a decision for you. What would I tell someone else that I love as a qualified counselor? What would I tell them? We got to sometimes listen to our... We got to tell ourselves what we need to do here. So here you are. Okay. Oh, man, that was a stutter step. All right, down here. I'm trying to figure out where I want to start here again. All right, so here I'm making a decision. Now, if I'm looking at the decisions and it's lined up like that, and on the other side is the decision... Nick, come over there and stand over there. You're the decision. Stand dead across. Just and look at me. Come stand there and look at me. Now, if I'm here and I'm thinking, what do I do? I got to make this decision. I'm looking at my decision, and this is lined up. Pretty good bet I need to make the decision to do it, right? But what if I look at it, and right off the bat, this is over here. Should it stop right there? Now, y'all are afraid to answer that.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's think of all the ways that this book can meddle. They do. But you got to go through the rest of these to make sure you're right. The Holy Spirit interprets it the right way. Wisdom and knowledge knows how to interpret it the right way. And you go on down. Good counselors will tell you when you're not thinking right. So that's where you got your safeties here. Okay, what if you look at it and you don't find anything in the Word of God that really restricts you in any way? You're not really filling anything in the Holy Spirit in. But then all of a sudden you get over to here and knowledge is a little off on this. You just don't know enough about it to make a peaceful decision. Then you go over here and you get some counsel. And counsel's not quite lined up. You've gotten four or five men that you've talked to or four or five counselors. They've all said something different. None of it matches up. Some have said do it. Some have said don't do it. Then you come over here to your, what were you again? Rational. All right, rationality. It's a little bit disturbed. Step back a little bit. Then you get over here. What was this one? You wouldn't advise anybody to do what you're thinking of doing. So he's kind of right over here. So now I get back down here, and I'm looking down this line. I can't really give a scripture and verse that says I shouldn't buy this house. And the Holy Spirit's not really, I just can't read it yet. But my wisdom says it's going to be hard to pay for it. Counselors have said, man, if you buy this house, that's all you're going to do is pay for this house. You're not going to have any money for anything else. Then you get into rationality says, walk away. You go down. I wouldn't advise anybody else. So now I'm looking at my decision. See how this is all out of whack? Now, these counselors have helped me. I should walk away. I should walk away. Now, you see how this works? You use these together. Sometimes they'll match up perfectly. Sometimes they'll match up almost all. You know, go ahead and line up again. Sometimes they may all be lined up, except that your mom says, you know, don't marry the jerk. But outside of your mom, everything else is lined up, okay? Then it might still be a good decision to make. Except mama always knows best. And there's going to be that big I told you so at the end of it. You guys can all go grab a seat. Thank you. These little counselors that you have in your life will help you have discernment if you'll use them. If you'll use them. You know, you need to remember this as I'm closing out. Between the opportunity to make a decision and the making of that decision, there should be some time weighing it out and using the counselor team. Don't be like Alice. Don't be like Alice. Care where you end up. Make wise decisions. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. That little thing I just gave you, I've used it over and over and over in my life. Sometimes it's not a decision between right and wrong. Did you know that? Sometimes it's a decision between what's right and what's more right. Sometimes there's a good, better, and best, not a bad and good. Sometimes it's between right and wrong. Sometimes it's between what's right and what's more right in your life. You got to have discernment. If you want to be the blessed man, you've got to discern in your life the paths that you take. Is there anyone that could say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I know this, I need to be saved. Would you pray for me?" Anybody at all? "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I know that I need to be saved. Would you pray for me?" Amen.